Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Le meilleur de Séances Radio est maintenant sur We Love Cinéma.
L'invité de Flashback cette semaine est le réalisateur Jerzy Skolimowski pour la version restaurée du Départ en salle depuis le 21 novembre. Jerzy Skolimowski fait partie de cette nouvelle vague polonaise qui a débuté au début des années 60, étudiant à la fameuse école de cinéma de Łódź. Remarqué en Europe grâce à ses premiers longs-métrages tournés en Pologne, Skolimowski se voit proposer la réalisation du Départ en Belgique avec Jean-Pierre Léo en tête d'affiche. Un film énergique et trépidant qui voit un Léo presque cartoonesque tenter par tous les moyens d'obtenir une voiture pour un rallye qu'il veut disputer à tout prix. Il rencontre alors une jeune femme, jouée par Catherine Duport, qu'il va entraîner dans cette emballante valse automobile, magnifiée par le noir et blanc tranchant de Willy Curant et la musique jazzy de Christophe Komeda, et pour lequel Skolimowski remporta l'Ours d'Or au Festival de Berlin. Nous avons rencontré le cinéaste lors du dernier festival Lumière à Lyon, où il présentait Le Départ ainsi que Walkover, son deuxième long métrage polonais.
Good morning, Mr. Skolimowski. Thank you very much for to be the host for our show Flashback. My first question is, how did you achieve the walkover? And why did you play at this time the main character?
Well, first of all, I was surprised that the film is still quite watchable. You know, it was made more than 50 years ago. I was a very young man at that time. And why did I make it? That was the continuation of my very first movie I made as a film student. I had a clever idea to use every opportunity during the 4 years period of studying in Łódź film school. I was using every opportunity to shoot a little piece of the same film. In order to do it, I had to decide that I will play the main part because there was no actor who would keep the appearance exactly the same for 4 years, you know, and who would be available on hand every time I have a chance to shoot. So that was the reason I had to play it, and the walkover was a simply continuity of the same film done with a professional equipment and the crew, because the very first one, which was called Signe Particulière Néant, in Polish Rysopis, it was a half amateurish film. Obviously, I was making it with two people, with cameramen and soundmen, and nobody else. You know, we were doing everything with our own hands. But the walkover was a fully professional experience. And the most amazing thing was that the production reports from the everyday work was terrifying, because when they put how many camera setups you made this day, and they put one, it sounded terrible. But they didn't take under consideration the fact that one camera setup was 11 minutes long, for example. So, you know, those kind of stories I still remember from that young experience.
Actually, it was a very, very professional film. And from this movie, you show a certain taste for virtuosity with this astonishing shot when you are sitting at the table and you start running. The shot, many minutes. It's incredible for this time, the achievement of this shot.
Well, yes, and you know, it was a kind of competition between not only film students, but I think generally at that time, with a kind of free movement of the camera, it was a kind of almost international competition between us, the Nouvelle Vague film directors, to make the extravagant shots, you know, to show the freedom of the camera. So I was one of those, and sometimes my shots were really a top class, I must say.
Yes, very impressive. And after that, how did you come to realize Le Départ in Belgium?
That was pure coincidence. You know, I was with my third film, next after Walkover, I made The Barrier. And that film was sent to Bergamo Film Festival. I don't know if this festival still exists, or was it maybe just the maverick of the time. But that was a festival with the money prize. So we were all very anxious to get that money prize. It wasn't a big money, I don't know, something like $5,000. But there were plenty of very well-known people competing for that, including your Claude Lelouch, for example. And I won this festival with The Barrier. And therefore, there was a little interest, some interest among film people. What will I do the next? And there were some Dutch people who approached me that I should make a movie in Amsterdam. But since we couldn't communicate, I didn't speak any language at that time. And they, of course, didn't speak Polish, but miraculously they found an old lady, a Belgian lady who spoke Polish. So she was serving as a translator. But those talks took hours and hours and hours, you know, and you know how Dutch people are. They were kind of very tight on the money issues. And suddenly this woman, to my total surprise, said, "Listen, let's not talk to them anymore. They are Dutch, you know, they will never give you any money. I'll do the financing of the film." I said, "How possible?" She said, "Yes, the only condition is that it must deal with the cars. Because my husband," she said, "is a publisher of the automobile magazine in Belgium. So I can get you, you know, some money to make a movie, but it has to deal with the cars." So immediately I got an idea for, you know, for Le Départ, the young man obsessed with Porsche, and so on and so on. That is how it happened.
Un coup de pince, quand tu me laves les cheveux, comme ça, en silence.
Je pense à ma maman.
Oui, je sais. Mais qu'est-ce que ça veut dire une caution? C'est une garantie. Bon. Alors voici de l'argent, plus ses cheveux qui en valent beaucoup.
Excusez-moi, de quoi s'agit-il?
Mais ses cheveux valent 10 000 francs!
Je ne le conteste pas.
Oui, bon, alors voilà, je veux louer une Porsche. Alors voici de l'argent, plus ses cheveux qui en valent beaucoup.
Il vaut mieux téléphoner à quelqu'un qui a une Porsche.
Tu as remarqué ma technique de contre-braquage?
Ça passe, la jeunesse. Oui, ils étaient au lit, je suppose qu'il y en avait même qui étaient nus.
Oh. Imbécile!
Vous disiez?
Non, rien du tout, madame.
And this young man is Jean-Pierre Léo. Why did you choose him for this role? You said you didn't control his game at this time. And he embodies the transition of adulthood, is the theme of the film. Jean-Pierre Léo, how was it?
You know, at that time, I didn't see many Western films because in communistic Poland, still in a full bloom in 1965, 66, 67, we didn't have an access to the Western films. So only when I was abroad, I could have a glimpse of one film by Godard, one film by Truffaut. So when it came to the casting of Le Depart, the very few actors I knew was, for example, Jean-Pierre, whom I've seen in Masculine and Feminine, together with the girl, Catherine Duport. And since my film was completely different than Masculine and Feminine, I said, why shouldn't I steal the cast from Truffaut and put them into my film, make them completely different, and it worked.
And in 1968, you said you were very influenced by the new wave, La Nouvelle Vague Française. How did it, and especially Godard, how did it influence you at this time?
Well, to be very honest with you, I wasn't influenced, because as I said, I haven't seen those films when I was making my very first film, the one I mentioned to you, Sin Particulier Néant. Mm. I was making this film when I was in the film school, which was 1961, 2, 3, and 4. I haven't seen any of those. But there was something in the air, you know, that cinema is changing. You know, we heard the news that people in France are using the handheld camera, and having such a minimalistic possibilities of making films in a film school, particularly, it was natural for us to use the handheld camera to make the films as a homemade movie. So, and then when we met for the first time, all of us, in Pesaro Film Festival, I suddenly met Miloš Forman, who brought his very first film, Black Peter. I met Bernardo Bertolucci, Bellocchio. I met Volker Schlendorf, Alexander Kluge, all those guys who were at the same time making the very, very similar films. And it's generally called now Nouvelle Vague, but there were not only the French discovery, but also the discovery of the generation, of the young filmmakers who were trying to desperately to make films with what they have in their hands. They didn't have the equipment, you know, the cranes, the huge budgets. We had a very little money and very, very minimalistic means of filmmaking.
Is there a reason why you choose, at this time, you choose Willy Curant for the photography?
And Willy Curant was also one of the very few cameramen which I have seen working. And also his advantage for me was that he spoke some Russian. Mm. I didn't speak, as I said, I didn't speak any language than Polish and some Russian, because we were forced to learn Russian in schools. So this is we communicate with Willy Curant on a Belgian set in Russian.
He spoke very well at this time?
No. He knew the basic words, but at least there was some possibility to communicate.
And the style is very different from that the walkover, with a lot of camera shots on the shoulder. The style is very, very different. One film and another, and totally different. You wanted that for this movie? Shooting very hard?
Well, again, it was a matter of equipment, what we had. Le Depart had a very modest budget, you know. This Belgian lady and her automobile magazine publisher husband, I don't think they put more than $50,000 to make this film. So what we could hire was also some, you know, some equipment, but not the extravagant one, not the cranes again, not the long traveling shots. We couldn't make those.
And the music is very remarkable in this film. How did you work with Christopher Komeda?
Well, you know,
your favorite composer.
With Christopher Komeda, we were the old friends. You know, I was, I was following their career from early on. You know, I was obsessed with jazz, and Christopher was playing this kind of cool jazz, which I like the most. So I was so happy that I could work with him. That was a blessing, really. He got a huge credit for helping this film.
The last question: what is your point of view of these two films 50 years later? Now, when you watch now, what is your idea of this movie?
Of those films?
Yes, of those two films.
Well, I can admire the efforts of the young men, you know, and of course now when I shot a kind of big budget films and different films and here and there, I can say that probably I got the maximum what I could at that time. Yes. With the means I had in my hands, I couldn't do anything better, so bravo Skolimowski of 20 years, being 20 years old.
Bravo too, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Un grand merci à Marion Echard de Malavida pour la réalisation de cette interview. Je rappelle que Le Départ est en salle depuis le 21 novembre dans sa version restaurée. J'ajoute également que Jerzy Skolimowski sera l'invité d'honneur du prochain festival Toute la mémoire du monde à la Cinémathèque française en mars prochain et que 4 films en version restaurée couvrant l'ensemble de la carrière de Skolimowski, de ses débuts à sa période américaine, Signe particulier néant, Walkover, Travail au noir et Le bateau phare, ressortiront également au mois de mars.
Retrouvez l'ensemble des contenus Séances Radio proposés par We Love Cinéma sur tous vos agrégateurs de podcasts.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.